a dear friend of mine in Mexico, a man who's passing, I still mourn. He was a kind of father of project management. Once told a group this story. Once upon a time, three engineers were in a car headed to an important conference. Car broke down, stopped running. The electrical engineer said, I'm sure the problem is with the electrical system, probably ignition. The mechanical engineer said, nope, I'm pretty sure it's a mechanical failure in the engine. Maybe the oil or water from running too hot. They both ended their comments by saying, we just need to study this thing more closely. The computer engineer said, stay cool. I've got the solution. Let's all get out of the car and open and shut all the doors, the hood, and the trunk. Then we'll get back in and be ready to go. Another way of saying the same thing is that to the hammer, everything looks like a nail. And to this priest, who's been immersed in annual meeting issues all week, because that's when he turns his attention to it. The week before, everything looks like fodder for the annual parish meeting. This homily will be brief because the meeting follows this Holy Eucharist, and I would like to have as much time available to hear from you as possible. Luckily, as it turns out, the proverbs for today, collect and reading, all seem to be about having an annual meeting. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Maybe that's the most important thing we have to take into this meeting and to carry away from it. What better thought to be in our heads and hearts as we set out with a new vestry and hope for the future. God governs all things. God governs, and we are meant to be good managers. Literally, people who manage them, good stewards of that which has been entrusted to us.
Go.
The very first reading comes from the prophet Micah, not Bishop John Spalding, not Bishop Hines, nor Bishop Pike, nor any liberal or radical voice in the church in the last century or so, but Micah, a Jewish prophet, writing 3,000 years ago, 7,000 years before the birth of Christ, saying, not thousands of rams, nor tens of thousands of rivers of oil, not our firstborn. No sacrifice that we could imagine. None of these is pleasing to God. Not one of them changes God's mind about anything. Does not cause God to hold us in more esteem. Nope, the prophet says, here's what God wants from us. To do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And the we here refers to us Jews, so accustomed to and steeped in the culture of ritual sacrifice. At the time Micah was speaking, that was what was done about anything and everything. Well, let's make a sacrifice. Let's kill an ox. What a radical statement to come from him. God wants us to do what is in our God-given power to do, regardless of our station in society, the state of our health, our age, or anything else. We are all equally called to deal with each other and the world justly, to be kind to each other, to remember that God is God, and we are not. We are merely managers, stewards, servants of the God who has given us everything, including the means for carrying out the work of justice and kindness and humility and mercy. And then, thanks to God and to the servants on, of all things, the standing liturgical commission of the Episcopal Church, who choose the readings for every Sunday, we are given a picture of justice, kindness, and humility. Paul knew that these qualities seemed foolish to much of the world, or stupid, or both. By many of the world's standards, these seem to be weak and hollow, even today. The real genius of the pairing of these readings comes in a key passage from Matthew's Gospel, which we know as the Beatitudes, that is, the blessed are, or in other translations, happy are. And here we have a picture of this seeming foolishness, a portrait of Micah's prescription for God, for truly God-pleasing behavior, poverty of spirit, thirst, sincere mournfulness when we cannot change out meanness, a thirst for the Spirit of God, purity of heart, all signs of empathy for those who suffer, empathy with those who suffer, identification with others as we go through this human life together. People who extend mercy, open their guileless hearts to others. People who value peace over winning the argument or war or transaction. Persecution will come your way, Jesus tells us, when we follow this pattern of life. But it is infinitely more valuable than joining in the persecution of others, even when that is the popular course of action. When he tells us that our reward will be great in heaven, we are meant to remember, I believe, that he also says the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand, among us. For us today, this amalgam of teachings about what Jesus God might cause us to look at the mission and ministry we share here, and how we have gone about fulfilling those in the year just ended. And it can also encourage us to consider how we will go about embodying all this in this new year, how we, as a parish, will do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.